Yes. Okay, at the bottom of Zayin Med Aleph, going over to Zayin Med Beis, we were discussing the proper bracha for Bedikas Chametz. There's a machlok between Rav Papi and Rav Papa. Should the bracha be Levoyer Chametz? Which implies, according to everyone, that it's about something I'm about to do, as the birch samizos are typically made over lasiyasim before a person does it, and that's the opinion of Rav Papi. The opinion of Rav Papa was, even though he concedes that levar chametz would be acceptable, he argues that al biur chametz also implies something that will be coming, up in the future. It can imply something that happened already in the past. But it could also imply something that already happened, that will happen in the future. Because Tosfos already pointed out, Ki pligi ba'al biur chametz marasav u'shaover mashma, perusha b'natam u'shaover mashma tfei milehaba. And everyone agrees, it could imply something that happened in the past, it could imply something that happens in the future. Machlokes was, is it more something that happened will happen in the future, is it more something that will happen, that happened already in the past? The opinion of Rav Papa was that al biur chametz is acceptable as well. It primarily implies something that will happen, will happen in the future. Then the Gemara asks, though, from what about the bracha of Mila? The Gemara asks Akasha, really, on the opinion of Rav Papi, that holds you make levar chametz. If that's the case, why do we make the bracha of al hamila on the mitzvah of Mila? If al biur chametz implies something that happened already, so then shouldn't al hamila also imply something that happened already? Yet the bracha of al hamila is made prior to the Mila. So the Gemara asks three lines from the bottom of Zayin Mabeis, Meizvei Baruch Hashem Kishonim Zvaisavitzivanu Al Hamila. So the Gemara says, why are we making Al Hamila? Doesn't that imply something that happened already? And over here it's really referring to something that's about to happen. So the Gemara says, Hasam Heikhi Nema. What are you going to say? Limo. The word limo also has a different implication, and that implies that it's something that you have to do. Lo Yisagi Delav Ihu Mahil. And what, do we need this guy to do the mitzvah of Brismila? Let someone else do the mitzvah of Brismila. We don't need to hire Dafka this Mahil. So since we don't need to hire Dafka this Mahil, we can't say the word limo. That implies something that's inherent to me. So therefore, the Gemara says, that's why we reverted to Al Hamila. We had to go back to Al Hamila. And even Rav Papi there would agree that al, hamila could imply something that not only will happen, happened already, but could imply something that will happen in the future. And when we have no other choice, even Rav Papi agrees al hamila would have been acceptable. But he holds, in the absence of compelling reason to use the bracha of al hamila, we should have used, the li prefix instead of the al prefix. Because li always, primarily implies something that's coming up as opposed to something that happened already. But he concedes that where there's no other choice, we can, in fact, use, the word al, the prefix al, even though it can imply something that happened already, it could also imply something that's about to happen. Over here, we have a reason, by me, we have a reason, dafka, to use the prefix al. If we use the prefix le, that would imply something you have to do, and we don't have to use this mouse. So the Gemara asks, avi haben, ma'ikel ha'mema. What are you going to say when it comes to the father of the son who himself acts as a mouse? Doesn't he have a unique status that it's his mitzvah? Look at Rashi, and Tosfos quotes it, da'al ha'av muto, this is his mitzvah. So he should make the bracha lit, not al, this is his mitzvah. Michael, meimar ein al-chinami. Mark seems to concede that you're right, the father might conceivably make a bracha, not of al, but a bracha, with the prefix of lit, because in, this implication of that it implies that something unique and inherent to him wouldn't bother us, because it is unique to the father, and a puppy, everything being equal, prefers the bracha with the prefix le over the bracha with the prefix al. Al seems to imply something that happened already, primarily not something that's about to happen. Okay, so we have a back and forth over here in the Gemara. Which prefix should we use for birch samizos? Should we use le? Should we use al? The Gemara is going to bring up other examples, which we have to deal with independently. The Gemara arrives at the conclusion that we make the hilchasa al biur chametz. We make the bracha with the prefix al. But what is the, but again, we're not consistent, as we left off yesterday discussing, we're not consistent in the way that we formulate brachas. Sometimes the brachas we use are with the prefix le, sometimes with the prefix al, and they're always over lasiyas in the prior to a person, making the bracha. So if, with regards to biur chametz, it's good enough, or we prefer to use the prefix of al, we pass on like Rav Papa, not like Rav Papi, that al implies something's about to happen. Why then do we find sometimes that we use the prefix of le? Why do we use the prefix of al? And what's really the rule over here? So the Ramban quotes one approach from the Ravid. The Rush actually quotes the same thing from Rabbeinu Tam, who distinguished between mitzvahs that are, one-time things versus mitzvahs that happen every day or on an ongoing basis. The Ravid said if one is dealing with a mitzvah that's on an ongoing basis that happens all the time, So then the nusach of the bracha is with the prefix of liv. That's like leishev basuka, lehisatev betzitzis, lehaniach tefillin. Then you get the prefix of liv. If it's or lekvaya mezuzah, if it's a mitzvah, that is, and that's why, right? So the question was, well, what about Hanukkah? Hanukkah, we say the hadlik ne'er shel Hanukkah. So many said, well, the mitzvah of ne'er Hanukkah lasts 8 days, and even the mitzvah of Hanukkah is not a one time thing. It's supposed to burn until ad shetichla regel menashuk. So whenever we have a mitzvah that continues for some period of time, or you know something that's consistent every day. So then we use the prefix of lit. If it's a mitzvah, which is a one-time thing, you know, one time a year or whatever, you know, the one-off, and it's over pretty quickly, then we use the prefix of al. That's why we have over here al biur chametz, or al achilas, or al right al achilas matzah, or you know, or al mikra megillah. Well, that's the rule according to the Rabbim. So the Ramban is not happy with that distinction of the Rabbi, that distinction of Rabbeinu Tam. And he asks on it. He asks, where are we? Look at the sheet from today. We left off with this yesterday. He asked, what about Ner Chanukah? Why do we make Lahadlik if it's a one-time thing? You know, and it's over pretty quickly. So we said yesterday you could get out of that. And he quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who defended this, that it's because you need the candle to burn out your tikkun regel menashuk. The Ramban doesn't like it. Then he also asks another question from Tkiya Shofar. What's the bracha making Tkiya Shofar? Is Lishmael Kol Shofar. But with Tkiya Shofar, Nami Hur Rabbeinu Hai, Rabbeinu Hai, Avi Hanshal Yisrael, right? One of our major figures, even in the period of the Rishonim, Shalokar Vachsi Shmuel Kol Shofar, V'loy Al Shmias, V'loy Al Tekias. We don't make the bracha Al Shmias Shofar, but and not Al Tekias Shofar. It's a classic Hakira, it's a mitzvah of Tekias Shofar to hear, or it's a mitzvah to blow. But either way, we don't make a bracha that reflects, you know, forget about that issue. We don't make the bracha with Al, we make the bracha with Lishmael Kol Shofar. But why? This is not an ongoing mitzvah. This is not like Niach Tfilin or Lesatev Betzitzis. This is a mitzvah, you know, that is or lekvaya mezuzah. This is a mitzvah that is a one-time thing. So why should we make the bracha leh? We should make the bracha with al, according to the Rav and according to Rabbeinu Tam. So therefore, the Ramban is not happy with their position. But again, the opinion of the Rav and Rabbeinu Tam, just to state it for the record, is that there's a difference between an ongoing mitzvah as opposed to a mitzvah that's kind of a one-time thing. But then the Ramban says his own approach, which is adopted by most of the Rishonim. The Rambam actually has a similar idea, but there's a slight difference between, well, major difference between the Ran and the Ramban and that of the Rambam. But this seems to be adopted by the other half of the Rishonim. And he says, Vani Oimer, that there's a difference between a mitzvah that you have to do, you know, yourself, and that gets the prefix of Le. That's Lesatev Petzitzis. That's Laniach Tfilin. I can't hand the mitzvah over to a Shliach. That's a mitzvah I have to do myself. A mitzvah of al is like al hamila, or al hashchita, or al biur chametz. That's a mitzvah that I don't have to do myself. I could have someone else do it for me, right? We said already that biur chametz, or bedikas chametz, you don't have to do it yourself if there's someone else. I think we discussed a few days ago. If you're not going to be there, you could have a shliach do bedikas chametz for you. So this is not a mitzvah necessarily you have to do yourself. It's not like one of those mitzvahs that you can't hand off to a shliach, right? It would be nice if you could hand davening off to a shliach and a tzitzis and tefillah. You can't. You have to do those mitzvahs yourself. It's a mitzvah shebeguf. And whenever you're dealing with a mitzvah shebeguf, then it gets the prefix of le. If it's a mitzvah that you have to, that you can hand off to a shliach, then it has the prefix of al. So he asks on himself, that's his distinction. So look over here, I don't know, right in the middle of the paragraph, three words into the line, if they're after a period, is aval, is the words aval mitzvah, sheyef shalasa saideh shlech, gon tfil mitzitzis, yeshiva besuka, v'chayotzeh behen, mevarchan aleim belamed, that gets the prefix of lamed, b'chol sheberchasen oivel asiyos. And whenever you do the bracha, you know, make the bracha beforehand. But then he asks from Tomer, harei hadlokas ner chanukah, sheyef shalasa saideh shliach, he can appoint a shliach from your b'nei bayis, or even afim your b'nei bayis, if he's kind of a shav pruta in the oil. He can light Hadlokas Neiros Chanukah in your house on behalf of you. You can't have someone light Neiros Chanukah in their house on behalf of you, but you can have someone light Hadlokas Neiros Chanukah in your house on behalf of you. Just like I can't have someone do Bedikas Chametz in their house on behalf of my house. I can have someone do Bedikas Chametz in my house on behalf of me. So to over here, I could have someone light a Neiros Chanukah in my house on behalf of me. So if it's Efshay Dei Shliach, why don't we make the bracha of Al Hadlokas Neiros Chanukah instead of Lahadlok? So he says, Yesh Leimar,
I'm ready.
Yeah.
For Rosh Hashanah, can we say that for the shofar that since someone else is like really the one who's blowing it, that
that's what he's going to end up saying. He's going to ask from shofar too. Shofar also, right? Everyone has to hear the shofar themselves. I can't appoint a shliach for me to go to shul, my representative to be in shul Rosh Hashanah, and that'll be good enough. You really have to hear it yourself. So then, why do we make the bracha lishmua kol shofar? Should be al shmia shofar or al tkiya shofar. So he ends up saying because someone else is blowing it on my behalf. So since there's someone else, you know, involved over here, that's why. What about al mikra megillah? So al mikra megillah also then, you know, that should have right. The general rule is that a mitzvah you can't do yourself gets the bracha of lit. So lishmua kol shofar. No, so Lishmoya Kol Shofar works. No. Lishmoya Kol Shofar works. Because that's a bracha you can't do yourself, right? You have to do yourself. You can't hand off to a shliach. Right. So that works. The bracha, the kasha is on Mikra Megillah. What?
What about Al Netilas Lulav?
Yeah, so the Gemara addresses Al Netilas Lulav. And the Gemara explains, Al Netilas Lulav, you can't say Li Tolas Lulav because the minute you pick it up, you're already Yotze. So we're going to get up to that. The Gemara, really, you should have said Li Tolas Lulav. You're right.
So then wouldn't that...
But the Gemara says for a different reason why we don't say Li Tolas Lulav. The Gemara actually asked that, yeah.
But wouldn't that also upset what the Rav was saying about Al is only after you've done them?
Al is, according to the Ravid, Al is for a mitzvah that's ongoing. Al is for a mitzvah that's one time. And Li is for a mitzvah that's ongoing.
Oh.
Or every day. And Al is for a mitzvah, the one-time thing, like Al Achilas Matzah, like Al Biur Chametz. According to the Ramban, the distinction is Liz for mitzvah that I have to do myself. So then, right, Lishmoel Kol Shofar makes sense. The problem is Al Mikra Megillah. Al Mikra Megillah, everyone has to hear the Megillah themselves, but there, you can't appoint a shliach to hear the Megillah for you, yet we make the bracha of Al Mikra Megillah. So that's where he says, we can see it in a second, but that's where he says that someone else is laning. Since someone else is laning, it's like they're participating. It's a little bit inconsistent then with Shmiya Shofar, because there someone else is blowing, and I'm listening. So shouldn't we be consistent in that? But the truth of the matter is, the two mitzvahs are really very different. Mikra Megillah, we're not running through all of Shas now, but the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is to read the Megillah. When someone else reads it on my behalf, it's kind of like a Shemea Koena, so they're like my Shaliach. That's our Mikra Megillah. The mitzvah by Tkiya Shofar, we really paskin, is not to blow the shofar and am yoytze by shomei ha-kohen by listening to the shofar. The mitzvah really is lishmoya kol shofar, to hear the sound of the shofar, not to blow the shofar. So when I hear the sound of the shofar, I do it myself. The fact that someone else is generating the sound almost doesn't even matter, sort of. The real mitzvah is to hear the shofar, and I'm hearing it myself, and I don't need your participation other than just, you know, as a hechatimtza, as a facilitator of the sound. So that's why perhaps we find a difference between those two brachas, but we understand why that's a little bit different because there's someone else involved, and the Ramban himself makes that distinction. He's bothered with Neiris Chanukah. He says, "Mtoma hareha," the five lines from the bottom. "Mtoma hareha bokas Neir Chanukah she'ef shulasai sa'idei shliach." Nonetheless, we make the bracha lahadlik. So he says, "Yesh loymar shani hasm shaloka mitzvah atzma." He says, because there the mitzvah is not only to light the candles, sometimes the mitzvah is also just to see the candles. The mitzvah is not only to light, the mitzvah is also to see the candles. So since you see the candles yourself, even if someone else lights for you, so even though someone else is participating, you can actually fulfill it all by yourself. So that's why we make the bracha of lit. And that part, you can't hand off to somebody else. That part, the person has to do themselves, is perhaps to see the candles. Anyway, Kitzamaisa, we have to do a lot of homework, a lot of footnotes over here, fixing up all of the different brachas and going through mamish, gans, shas, and figuring out, do actually all of the brachas fit into all of these rules, and maybe each one is an exception, and each one is different, and whatever it is. This is the basic rule, according to the Ran the Ramban, is that it depends not on a mitzvah that's a one-time thing, or, it's over quickly, versus a mitzvah that's every day, or a mitzvah that's prolonged, like the Ravid Rabbeinu Tam said here, according to them, it's the difference between a mitzvah you have to do yourself versus a mitzvah that could be performed by a shaliach. Now the Rambam goes a little bit further. The Rambam in Perek Yudav of Hilchos Brachos Vach Yud Aleph actually says we should distinguish between when you do the mitzvah yourself versus when you hand the mitzvah off to somebody else. If you do the mitzvah yourself, the prefix is lamed. If you hand it off to somebody else, the prefix, the bracha is al. So Ram says, "Kol ha'oisa mitzvah, m'osai sola atzmoi, mevarech lasois." Even if I could have handed it off to a shliach, but I don't. I do it myself. The bracha is lit. Also, sola acherim, mevarech alasiyah. If they give it to somebody else to do it, then the bracha changes to be all. Ketza, lavash tefillin, yasha besukah, kava mezuzah labesa, mevarech likvaya mezuzah. When a person puts on, you know, these items, or he sits in the sukkah, he makes a lir. Malas benoy mevarech limolas haben. When a person does milah on his own son, he makes the bracha of lir. Avam kava mezuzah lacherim, I put up a mezuzah in someone else's house, mevarech al kvios mezuzah. Malas ben chavero mevarech al hamila, v'chein kol kayoitze b'zeh. And so too with regards to other things. Because the bracha of lir, our Gemara already implies, like the Ran and the Ramban, right? Our Gemara said, why don't we make the bracha of limo when a person does bris milah? So the Gemara says, because it's not your mitzvah. How can you make a li, you know, use the prefix lit? Li implies that it's your mitzvah, as opposed to al, which implies that it's not necessarily your mitzvah. And then the Gemara asks, well, then let the father of the son, when he does bris milah, use the prefix lit. And the Gemara says, ain't achinami. So the prefix lit clearly, you know, seems to, so the Gemara here seems to support the Ran and the Ramban, and the Rambam, that li implies something that's unique to you, or something you have to do, as opposed to al, implies something even a shaliach could do. So the Rambam takes this even so far as to assume we should actually distinguish in the way we make the bracha, depending on who is doing it. The Ran, and presumably the Ramban, disagree on this point, and they feel, no, this was raised in the Gemara in the context of Rav Papi. The Gemara was asking kasha after kasha on Rav Papi. Rav Papi holds, we don't make the bracha al biyo chametz, we make the bracha levoyer chametz. If that's the case, why do we make the bracha al hamila? So Gemara said, because you can't make the bracha of limo. It's not your mitzvah that you have to do yourself. So that implies it's something that I had to do, and it's not something you have to do. So therefore he says, fine, you make the bracha of al hamila. Gemara asked, so what about the father? Okay, so the father, you're right, could have made the bracha lim. We would have preferred the bracha lim. But this is all within Rav Papi, who felt that the bracha of, you know, that the lamed is, the prefix of lamed is preferable to the prefix of al. And he even made livor chametz, not al biur chametz. But once we reject Rav Papi, and we pass like Rav Papa, that even biur chametz is al biur chametz, so then, you know, bris milah should have been al hamila. You know, we shouldn't distinguish between who's doing the biur chametz and who's doing the bris milah. So therefore the Ran asks on the Ramah, basikna al biur chametz ufichach aleh v'chayotzi v'shechom uschayim edei acher. Therefore any bracha that a person can fulfill with anybody else, mevarach ba'al, doig mina, udumaskana avi haben namim mevarach ba'al. So therefore, learn from here that whenever the father, even if the father performs bris milah, you make al shaloi k'divrei Rambam. Not like the Rambam. Shemhaya malas benam mevarach hashem kishon v'zitzivanu limo asaben ve'ein dvar mekuvarin. He doesn't like the Rambam. It doesn't fit in with the sugya. The chiyaminan hachi, whenever the Gemara, when the Gemara brought this up, that was only hani mili l'rav papi. I think it's a mistake over here. It should say l'rav papi. That was going according to Rav Papi, who held levoyer. Aval l'rav papa. Oh, yeah, it's backwards over here. But according to Rav Papa, the amar al biur avi aben nami mevarich ala mila. Just like we say al biur chametz, so too we should say ala mila. The mila b'avi aben kibiur chametz dami. Okay, that even when you're doing biur chametz in your own house, you don't say le. We say al. So too, even by all bris mila across the board, we should use a prefix. You know, we should use the bracha al, not the bracha with the prefix le. We should be consistent that it doesn't matter who's actually performing. You know, who's actually performing the bris milah, or who's actually performing the biur chametz, we always make the prefix of al. Okay, that's the machlokes of Rishayim. You know, what in terms of the prefix of the bracha, or how do we make the nusach bracha? Is it li? Is it al? The different rules, and the Rambam actually distinguishes between who's performing the mitzvah, who's performing the mitzvah. You know, if for you, you make li. If it's on behalf of somebody else, you make the bracha of al. But you see from this Rambam something really important. And it is highlighted by the Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Milah Halacha Aleph. And that is that when a person performs a bris milah, a person performs a mitzvah on behalf of somebody else, who makes the bracha, Rabbi Isai? The one who is fulfilling the mitzvah or the one who is doing the mitzvah? So the Rambam distinguishes between the nusach of the bracha, depending on who's, right, is it your mitzvah, is it not your mitzvah? But the Rambam seems to be, clear that who makes the bracha is not the one who fulfills the mitzvah necessarily, but the one who performs the mitzvah, right? If I put up a mezuzah on your house, the Rambam told us, then I make the bracha of al kviyas mezuzah. If I put up a mezuzah on my house, I make the bracha likvaya mezuzah. But one minute, who's fulfilling the mitzvah mezuzah here? You know, the person who put it up or the person who lives in the house? Clearly, the person who lives in the house. Right, even though the pasuk says "usaftem mezuzah v'yisarech v'yisharech," the mitzvah seems to be, you know, to write the mezuzah or to place the written mezuzah on the doorpost. the mitzvah is to live in the house, you know, with the mezuzah, not to put the mezuzah there. So who's in fulfillment of the mitzvah? And the Rambam, you know, highlights this. That's where the nusach of the bracha changes. It's the one who lives in the house. The one who puts it up is just facilitating the mitzvah of someone else. And nonetheless, he's the one who makes the bracha. The nusach of the bracha changes to reflect that, but it's not his mitzvah. It's the person who lives in the house. And nonetheless, he's the one who's making the bracha. And similarly, the Rambam says the same thing, right, with regards to bris milah, that if the father of the ben is doing the bris milah, he makes limo as a ben. If it's someone else, you know, he makes al hamila. So don't you see from here that whenever you have a mitzvah is being performed by somebody else on someone else's behalf, right, by one person on behalf of somebody else, the person who makes the bracha is the oisa as ha-mitzvah, not the one who is mekayim the mitzvah. And therefore, says the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Bedikas Chametz, if I check your house for you, who makes the bracha of al Bedikas Chametz? Me or the owner of the house? Who should make the bracha? The one who's doing the bedika, even though it's not his home. That's the conclusion of the Magen Avraham. Look over here. Is down mash with the Magen Avraham. Abayis chametz rak mitzav la'acha livdoik humavarech. He should make the bracha. So he asks, v'tzarachiyun, ha'ech yivarech, ha'ein ha'mitzvah mutal asal of livdoik. How could I make a bracha medikas chametz when I don't live here? And I have no mitzvah to do with. I'm doing it for you. But nonetheless, I'm the one who's making the bracha. V'tzarach lo'aymar, says the Magen Avraham. You have to say that. Afal picha in mitzvah ka'ovid, dum yedemilo, sh'mitzvah la'vi ha'ben. You have to say that at least I'm doing a mitzvah on your behalf. I'm kind of like your shaliach, and therefore I can make a mitzvah just like the father of the son who hands off the milah, you know, to Pesach Kron or to the Katzenstein's or whatever milah you prefer. He hands it off to them. Okay, you know, they're doing his mitzvah, but they're also doing a mitzvah also, so therefore they can make the bracha. So you see, says the Magen Avraham, that the person who makes the bracha is not the one who's fulfilling the mitzvah, but actually the one who's doing the mitzvah, and he is. How could that be? He has no mitzvah. How could he say, check his son, it must be he fulfills something, at least by being oisek in the mitzvah. But the one who makes the bracha is the oises ha-mitzvah, not the one who is mekayim the mitzvah. The Dagom Ravava is not convinced. That's the Noi de Behuda's commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch that appears occasionally. So the Dagom Ravava disagrees. He says, you really can't derive anything from Mila. Mila is a little bit different, right? Because the Gemara says in Kiddushin that if a father has not performed bris milah on his son, when the son becomes older, he has to perform bris milah on himself. And if the father doesn't do it when the child's a katan, so then anyone, all Klal Yisrael, is obligated to perform bris milah on this individual. Right? It spreads to even, you know, all Beis, you know, every Jew has an obligation to help this guy out. You know, it seems like it's above and beyond just Klal Yisrael, Reivim, Zebazeh. We all have an obligation to make sure that this guy gets, you know, bris milah. Beis Din will perform bris milah for him, right? The Gemara says, one of the mitzvahs the father's performed for his son, the commission of Mesechlis Kiddush and Chav Tesemet Aleph, is limulo, is to give him a bris milah, just like Avram gave Yitzchak, his son, a bris milah. But yet the pasuk says, himo lachem kol zachar. There's a mitzvah to do bris milah on all Jewish males. So the Gemara from that derives, v'hechavu amahale beidina mechayev ihu lemahale. Oh, I'm sorry. V'hechavu amahale avuha mechayev beidina lemahale. If the father didn't do it, all Beis Din is obligated to do it. If Beis Din didn't do it, all he was a minor, he's obligated to do it to himself when he becomes an adult. Okay, so the mitzvah of bris milah is a little bit different, says the Dagomer Vava. There we all have like a communal collective obligation to make sure all Jewish males get a bris milah. So you can't really derive anything from there, but the opinion of the Magen Avraham is stands on its own, and that is who makes a bracha when you have, you know, this split between the one who's doing the mitzvah and the one who's performing the mitzvah. Usually they go together, right? I put on tefillin, I fulfill tefillin. I put on tzitzis, I fulfill tzitzis. So I make the bracha unequivocally. What if it gets split up, these two different roles, the one who's doing the mitzvah, the one who's making who's fulfilling the mitzvah? Then the Magen Avraham claims the bracha resides with the one who is fulfilling, the one who is performing the mitzvah, not the one who's fulfilling it. So therefore, let's say, Azoi, the Pesachei Shuvah says in Hilchos Mezuzah, a person moves into a house, and there's already mezuzahs on the door. We're not going to get involved in the shaila now. Should you leave mezuzahs for the next tenant? Should you not leave mezuzahs for the next tenant? Can you take them down? I think we talked about that once this year already. A big shaila with regards to Hilchos Mezuzah. Did we talk about that? Should you take down mezuzahs? Not take down mezuzahs. Anyway, you move into a house that already has mezuzahs. Do you make a bracha when you move in? You know, l'kai mitzvah mezuzah? Asher kisham zayisav itzivanu al mitzvah mezuzah before I walk into the house for the first time? Or is there no bracha at all? So Piskei Tshuva and Hilchos Mezuzah quotes from Rabbi Kiva Eger that you make a bracha your first time walking to the house, you know, l'kai mitzvah mezuzah. Or lead, I think his nusach is lidur babayah sheyesh ba mezuzah, to live in a house that has a mezuzah. However, then the Pesach Tshuva in Hilchos Mezuzah quotes from the Birka Yosef, that's the Chida, who disagrees with the Rebbe Akiva Eiger. He says, well, there's no bracha lidor babayi sheyesh bo mezuzah. The bracha is made when you attach the mezuzah. If you move into a house that has mezuzahs already there, then you don't make any bracha at all. So he disagrees with the Rebbe Akiva Eiger. So it sounds like the Magen Avraham would agree with the Birka Yosef that the mitzvah, the bracha, is made in the Reb Chaim. It makes this connection in the Chidusha Manshas of Reb Chaim, if it's known as the Chidusha, the stencils, that the Chidusha Manshas, Reb Chaim sides with the Birka Yosef, and he connects it to this Magen Avraham, that the bracha is follows not the one who's Mekayim the mitzvah, but the one who's in fulfillment of the mitzvah. So yes, when you move into a house that has mezuzahs, you are Mekayim the mitzvah, you don't make a bracha on that. You don't make a bracha lido babay sheish b'mezuzah. You make a bracha lekvaya mezuzah, to attach a mezuzah. And therefore, the one who makes the bracha is the one who's attaching the mezuzah, not necessarily the person who's living in the house, that has the mezuzah. So it sounds like you see from the Rambam's distinction in terms of who makes the bracha, that at least the bracha always seems to follow the one who is in fulfillment, the one who's performing the mitzvah, not necessarily the one who's fufilling it. So based on this, if Soloveitchik suggested in one of the more famous pieces, in the name of Soloveitchik, it's Bror Reb Shechter brings it in his Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, Simen Gimel, he has a kuntres on Birchas HaMitzvahs, which is all the Torah of Soloveitchik. So sometimes Reb Shechter, obviously most of Eretz HaTzvi is Reb Shechter's Torah, but he has a few simanim that are all the Torah of Soloveitchik, one on Lishma Beget and one on Birchas HaMitzvah. So in the kuntres on Birchas HaMitzvahs, he quotes there from Soloveitchik that perhaps this is the position of the Bahag as well. With regards to Sfiras HaOmer, as everyone knows, the opinion of the Bahag is that if a person misses one day of Sfiras HaOmer, you don't continue to count with a bracha. So many, you can make it up the following day in the afternoon, but if you miss a whole 24 hours without counting, you don't continue to count with a bracha. So many ask, why not? Aren't each one of these days of Sfiras HaOmer separate and distinct mitzvahs? Why, just because I miss one, can't I count the other? You miss matzah, you can still eat maror. You miss sitting in the sukkah the first day, you can sit in sukkah the next day. So why can I continue to count to the bracha just because I missed one day? Isn't every day of Sfiras HaOmer a separate and distinct mitzvah? So it sounds like the opinion of the Bahag is, one could have interpreted the Bahag differently, and Soloveitchik goes on to suggest a different interpretation of the Bahag. But the simple interpretation of the Bahag, and certainly the way the Mishnah Berurah interpreted it, is that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is one big mitzvah. And if you miss one day, it's a mitzvah with 49 parts, but you miss one day, you're out. It's kind of like a hot potato or something, right? You miss one day, everything is over. That's why the Mishnah Berurah recommends that women not count with a bracha, because they're likely to forget to count. Why? Are women more forgetful than men? Not necessarily, but the Mishnah Berurah says it's because women don't come to shul, to daven ma'ariv, typically. So therefore, that typically men do, and therefore a woman is likely to forget Sfiras HaOmer, because most men count in shul, and she's not going to be in shul, so she's likely to forget. So that's why the Mishnah Berurah, many women do count with a bracha, my wife counts with a bracha, many women do count with a bracha, but the Mishnah Berurah recommends not to count with a bracha, because they're likely to forget. If they'll forget, all the brachas they made will be a bracha levatala. Why will it be a bracha levatala? I counted day 1, day, today 14, today 15, today 33, with a bracha, everything was fine, hunky-dory. Why should my brachas now be made into brachas levatala retroactively? Because everything is really one big mitzvah. That's what the Mishnah Berurah seems to assume in the Bahag. Everything is one big mitzvah with 49 parts. But Frag de Velta Kasha, everyone asks the question on the Bahag, if it's all one big mitzvah, how do you make 49 brachas on one mitzvah? Who ever heard of such a thing? One mitzvah gets one bracha. What's the 49 brachas? So Soloveitchik suggested, you see from this Bahag, that the Bahag also seems to be of the opinion of the Magen Avraham, that the bracha follows not the kiyum ha-mitzvah, right? A person can move into a house that has a mezuzah, he's mekayim ha-mitzvah and still makes no bracha. The bracha follows the ma'isa ha-mitzvah, the pu'ula of the mitzvah. Right, when we make a bracha on limud ha-Torah, we don't say leida es ha-Torah, even though Torah might be knowing certain things. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah might be defined by knowing, not necessarily by learning. We make the bracha lasoik b'divrei Torah. Yeah, but if a person is Isaac and gains no knowledge, has he really fulfilled anything? Let's say he reads the entire thing and hasn't gotten one word correct. So is he in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Maybe yes, maybe no, but maybe no. And if the answer is no, there might be a distinction between Torah Shebichsav. If you read the psukim of Torah Shebichsav, you're in fulfillment of a mitzvah, even though you don't understand what you're reading. But by Torah Shebaal Peh, it's probably not true. Torah Shebaal Peh is a system of ideas. If you don't understand what you're reading, even though you are oisek b'talmud Torah, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. It's the sad truth that if a person gets every word wrong, he hasn't fulfilled anything. So it comes to wrong laskana. There's no mitzvah at all. So one minute. So the mitzvah of Talmud Torah perhaps could be knowing Torah. So why do we make lasoik b'divrei Torah? The answer is because that's the pu'ula of the mitzvah. The bracha follows the action of the mitzvah. That's why we always describe an action in the bracha. The bracha follows the one who's performing the mitzvah, not the one who is fulfilling the mitzvah. Now, admittedly, they usually go together, but there are rare instances in which they become separated. One might be attaching a mezuzah on someone else's house, doing biur chametz in someone else's house. So that's why the Magen Avraham says there, the one who makes the bracha is not the one who's in fulfillment of the bracha, but the one who is actually performing it. But a really other, right? Okay, so that's one thing you see from this Rambam, who distinguishes between the nusach of the bracha in terms of who's performing it. If the father is doing bris milah on his son, he makes limos haben. If someone else is doing the bris milah, he makes ala milah. So the first thing you see is that jumps out at you is that even though the mitzvah might be the father's mitzvah, someone else does it, he's the one who makes the bracha. And that might be true by biur chametz too, even though I'm not the one who's fulfilling the mitzvah, I'm doing it on behalf of somebody else. At the same time, I make the bracha because the bracha follows the one who does the mitzvah, not the one who fulfills the mitzvah. Now, it's true by bris milah, you could argue that everyone has some responsibility here, because if the father doesn't do it, then we all have an obligation to step in. That's himo yimo kol zachar, himo lachem kol zachar. We all have an obligation above and beyond kol Yisrael ravens avazeh to make sure all Jewish males have a bris milah. But I think you see something else from this Rambam, not just that the bracha follows the one who performs the mitzvah, not necessarily the one who fulfills the mitzvah, but that is that there is a unique mitzvah on the father to perform bris milah. And our Gemara seems to have said it almost explicitly, when the Gemara said, you can't make a random male, can't make the bracha of limos haben. That would imply it's his mitzvah, and it's not his mitzvah. It doesn't have to be him. But when it came to the father, the Gemara said, no, you're right. He could make limo as a ben, because it is his mitzvah, as Rashi told us. As Rashi said, Tosfos quoted it, the al ha'av muto. This is the father's mitzvah. But what does it mean it's the father's mitzvah? That the father's the one who has to do it. Does that just mean that, the father is really part of the general population, but he's kind of like at the head of the, at the head of the line to do it, because it's his son. But he really has an obligation to perform bris milah on his son as part of the community, just he's kind of like designated to do it because he's the father of the child. But the mitzvah is really the child's mitzvah. And in the absence of the child having a bris milah, the community has to step in, and Reish Veruba, Reish Verishin will be the father. Or does this mean that there really is a mitzvah on the father, and the mitzvah milah on the son is really a mitzvah on the father? Just if the father doesn't do it, then the community steps in, and if the community doesn't do it, then the son even has to do it himself. But the son isn't doing it for him. The son is doing it on behalf, really, of the father. Meaning, is this really the mitzvah of the father? Or is this the mitzvah of the son that everyone else has to do on his behalf? Because he's a katan, after all, right? He's born when he's a baby, and he needs a bris milah right away on the eighth day. He obviously can't do it himself, so it's implicit that someone else is going to have to help him along. So is it just, this is the mitzvah of the son that everyone else steps in? Or is this really the mitzvah of the father? And even, later on, when the son does it himself, if the father, doesn't do it, that's really only on behalf of the father. So the truth of the matter is, or maybe that's, like a separate mitzvah. It's a separate mitzvah. Zakatan actually quotes two mitzvahs of bris milah. There's one mitzvah of bris milah for a person to do bris milah on himself, if he, becomes a gadol without a bris milah. And then there's another mitzvah of bris milah for the father to be ma'alas son. He counts it as two separate mitzvahs in his minyan mitzvahs. Look over here, Ezein and Ches. Limo as bino, d'chsiv, ayom al Avram, as Yitzchak binoi, ben shmonasi. Maybe there's one mitzvah to do milah on your son. And then he says, it counts another mitzvah to do milah on yourself. Wow, that really highlights the issue that there are really two separate mitzvahs here. And there's a mitzvah that's specifically incumbent upon the father. Not that his mitzvah is to kind of, do it on behalf of the son as part of a communal obligation, which he's just first in line. It really is a mitzvah that's implicit, separate and distinct for him. Then there's a separate mitzvah on the son. However, we don't paskin that way. The Rambam, I don't want to say we don't paskin that way when it comes to minyan mitzvahs, but the Rambam doesn't count. The major minyan mitzvahs do not count two separate mitzvahs. They count one mitzvah to do milah. But if you look at the way the Rambam phrases it, the Rambam says, "V'mitzvah reish tezvav hishet tzivanu limos haben." The mitzvah doesn't say that a person has an obligation to do bris milah, or the father has an obligation, to help the child fulfill his mitzvah bris milah. The Rambam seems to say it is the mitzvah of the father to be ma'al the ben. Does that mean it's really his mitzvah? Or is this the son's mitzvah, which he's doing, on behalf of the son? So if you look at the Minchas Chinuch, he actually has this suffix. Minchas Chinuch says a suffix. What happens when the child becomes older and he didn't have a bris milah? Who gets to do the bris milah now? The son gets to choose his own mile, or does the father still have rights to do the bris milah? He says, ani mesupok. Let's say the whole family becomes, you know, Bali Tshuva. The father wants to choose the mile, and the child has his own mind. He wants a different mile. So Minchas Chinuch says, ani mesupok. Im higdil. Shemitzvah gam ken alei rami. Once the mitzvah becomes incumbent upon him, once he becomes an adult, mechuyav limo atzmo. Gam ken mitzvah la'af. Is it still a mitzvah for the father to do it? Does it remain with him? Meaning, is this really the father's mitzvah? And just the child how has to fill in for the father when he becomes an adult? The mitzvah is only on the father when the child is a minor because he can't do it himself. Now the whole mitzvah becomes, you know, on him. The smack even said there's two mitzvahs here. That's pretty far. But we have to ask ourselves when we, you know, assume that there's only one mitzvah, who really has the main mitzvah, and just to phrase it a different way, does the father have some sort of personal investment here? Is this his mitzvah, or is he doing it on behalf of the son? And from the fact that the Rambam says that the nusach of the bracha changes between when the father does bris milah versus when someone else does bris milah, already seems to imply that this is not, you know, the father is not in the same group as everybody else. The father is, and he's not just the head of the line of the collective responsibility, the father, this is his mitzvah. Lima al-Saben is his mitzvah. More so even than the son himself, perhaps, right? The Rambam never says if the son performs bris milah on himself, like Avram Avinu, he would make limo, limo, to do milah. It's only if the father does it to the son. This is the father's mitzvah, perhaps even more than everybody else. And this, issue, other Rishonim felt, right, that we always make al hamilah, and that's our practice, the practice of Rav Rishonim, is that you always make al hamilah. The Rambam's position is noted as well, though, that we distinguish between, I think they're both brought in the Shulchan Aruch, that we distinguish between who's doing the bris milah. If the father's doing the bris milah, he makes, lima al-saben. If someone else is doing it, then he makes al hamilah. But this seems to highlight that, at least according to the Rambam, there's a unique mitzvah here to the father. Other Rishonim might disagree and say that even the father makes al hamilah. Not only because they don't distinguish between the nusach of the bracha, it doesn't change based on who's doing it, right? The Rishonim said that that's only in the Havamina of the Gemara Maskana. We don't distinguish between who's doing it, but they might disagree fundamentally that the mitzvah of bris milah is not something that's unique to the father. It's not his mitzvah, it's the son's mitzvah. Just when he can't do it, the son himself, the father has to step in or someone else from the community. So this seems to be a running issue with regards to two other things in bris milah. The first is with regards to shlichus. Is there actually a preference that the father do bris milah himself? So that Moshe quotes from the Or Zeruah, if the father knows how to do bris milah, let's say he's a doctor, aser litein lemoel acher, he cannot give the milah to somebody else. He can't. He can't ask a shliach. This is his mitzvah. Like he can't give tefillin to somebody else. He can't give milah to tzitzis to somebody else. He can't give milah to somebody else. If you don't know how to do it, you don't know how to do it. Now someone else from the community has to step in. But if the father can do it, he should do it himself. And he already asked the Darkei Moshe. Why is this different than any other mitzvah that he could appoint a shaliach? And apparently the opinion of the Or Zeruah is, even though the Darkei Moshe doesn't like it, the opinion of the Or Zeruah is, this is a mitzvah that's incumbent upon the father to do himself. In fact, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that in Aben Oymer Alamoyel, if Avi Aben Oymer Alamoyel, normally the father of the son would stand next to the Moyel, Shehu Shluchai. Right. Normally, this is a lot of times new fathers don't know this. They're supposed to stand next to the male and appoint them. Most of the times, the male will instruct them, appoint me as your shliach. You're supposed to appoint him as your shliach to perform the milah on the son. Why? Shemilah, because he has to be your shliach. So that seems to follow the Darkei Moshe that shlichus applies to bris milah. And when I appoint him as my shliach, it's kind of him doing it on my behalf, and I'm fulfilling my fatherly obligation to do bris milah. The Or Zeruah would say you can't do that. Or as a rule would say, there's no shlichus here. This is your mitzvah. If you don't do it, then someone else from the community will step in, but there's no point in appointing him as your shliach. There's no shlichus here. This is your mitzvah. This is the mitzvah saguf of the father. And it sounds like that's the opinion of the Or Zeruah, is that this is not like you as a member of the community, which I can hand off to somebody else. This sounds like, you know, you as a, you know, unique role of the father. And if you can't do it, someone else will step in, but you missed your opportunity. In fact, they say Reb Chaim, this is brought in the Masorah Journal, that Rebbe Ganak puts out from the OU with different things from Salvechik. Salvechik brought in the name of Reb Chaim, that his first son, Reb Chaim, learned how to do bris milah, and he did bris milah on his first son, Reb Moshe Salvechik himself. Then the Dayan was there, Simcha Zelig. who was the Dayan in Brisk, was there, and he saw the Bris Mila, and he said, you know, when the Brisker Rav was born, his younger, Moshe's younger brother, he said, maybe let the regular Mayo do it. He said, you step aside. He saw what he did. He saw how good a job he did with the Moshe, so he said, maybe let someone else do it. But there are many doctors I know who have the ability to do Bris Mila, and they have the preference to do, they do it themselves. A lot of times it's not as hard as you might imagine. You could have the Mayo set everything up, and then, you know, it's just using a scalpel. So any medical person, I wouldn't recommend any Hamoina I'm doing, but a medical person, you know, can do these things. So that's one distinction between, you know, within the Rambam, or within the Rishonim, you know, who really has the mitzvah here? Is it really the father's mitzvah, or is it just the father's a member of the community doing the mitzvah on behalf of the son? But it's really the son's mitzvah. And the other nafka mina, perhaps, is in regards to the mitzvah of the brach of lachnisa berbisoi shel Avram Avinu. There's a machlekes rishayim over here. Tosis quotes it on Zion and Aleph. When do you make the brach of lachnisa berbisoi shel Avram Avinu? One opinion was that you make the Gemara says in Shabbos that there's two brachas that are made at the time of the Bris Mila. One is al hamila that's made by the mayel, and then there's the bracha of lachnisa berbisoi shel Avram Avinu, which is typically made by the father. After the Bris Mila is all over, then we make Asher Kidah Ashidim Yibet HaMechayik B'Sheir or something. That's a separate bracha that's made over a cup of wine when right before they give the child the name. But at the time of the Bris Mila itself, there's two brachas al Hamila, and then the father makes Lachnisa B'Bisa Shal Avram Avinu, at which everyone responds, K'shem Shenichlas Abris, Ken Yikonis Atara Chubo Maizim Tevim. So when do you make the bracha of Lachnisa? The al Hamila is clearly made, Oiva Lasiyos, and when do you make the bracha of Lachnisa? So Tosfos over here has two opinions. When do you make the bracha of Lachnisa B'Bisa Shal Avram Avinu? One is that you make the bracha prior to doing the Bris Mila. The other, opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, opinion of the Rashba, is that you make it before. You make it before. The opinion of Rabbeinu Tam is that you made it, you make it after. You make it after. So Rashba holds you make it before. It's like a birchus hamitzvah. Rabbeinu Tam holds you make it after. It's a simple explanation, Rabbeinu Tam, that you make it after the Bris Mila, is that this is like a birchus shevech v'haidah. We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the institution of Bris Mila, but it's not really a mitzvah, a brach on the mitzvah of Bris Mila. If it would be a brach on the mitzvah of Bris Mila, you would have made it over lasiyasan, like we do by all birchus hamitzvah. From the fact that you make it after, so then that seems to imply it's a birchus shevech v'haidah. And the Rashba held that you make it before. There's actually a compromise position in the Rosh, which is how we paskin. The Rosh in Masechta Shabbos says, since this is a machlekes, when to make the bracha before or after, he thinks you should do it between the Mila and the Priya. If you don't know what that means, there's the underneath the Ar HaArla, there's an Ar HaPriya, which is a membrane. Now, we don't do, in the times of the Gemara, they did Mila and Priya on two different stages. They would do Mila, remove the Ar HaArla, and then the Ar HaPriya, which is like a membrane-y type of material, they would peel it back. They wouldn't remove it. So they would remove the Ar HaArla and peel back the Ar HaPriya. Nowadays, we don't do that. Nowadays, we cut off, we do Marlin, Uparin, Bebasachas. Nowadays, the Mayo will probe inside the Ar HaArla and remove the Ar HaPriya, which is normally adhered to the top of the Atara. He'll probe inside with an instrument and separate the two, and then pull them both with like a forcepi type thing. He'll pull them both, and then he puts the mugging down, and we cut them both off at the same time. So we typically do them both at the same time. We don't peel back the Ar HaPriya anymore. Chassidish circles, they still do that. They remove the Ar HaArla, and they pull back the Ar HaPriya. I haven't even seen that, but I've been told that they still do that in some circles. In our circles, we don't do that. We take off the Ar HaArla and Ar HaPriya all together at once. That's why the baby cries at the Bris Mila. The baby cries at the Bris Mila, everyone will tell you, we all tell the mother, oh, he's crying because he's cold. Because we took off, he's not crying because he's cold. You know why the baby is crying? Because the Mayo, before he performs the Bris Mila, he has to probe inside to make sure the Ar HaArla becomes detached, and really the Ar HaPriya becomes detached from the top of the Atara, in which he has to probe. And that creates a little bit of bleeding, because it's normally adhered to the top of the Atara. So when he probes inside to make sure it's all detached, so then he can pull it forward and then cut it off easily with the shield in front, that hurts, and that's why the baby cries. So some myelim, it seems like the baby's crying more and it's taking longer, and other myelim move faster. It's not because some myelim, there might be myelim who are more talented, you know, than others, I'm sure that is true, but it's not because some myelim are so much faster than others, right? No one praises a surgeon for being quick. That's not like a good thing. You want the surgeon to be careful and be correct, not necessarily be quick. But some myelim do this probing before they ever walk into shul. So that's why when they get into shul, this is all done already. Ah, so it moves much quicker. Some of them do this only when they get into shul. They start tempering and probing and everything, and that's why it takes much longer, and that's why you hear the baby crying for longer. So different ma'alim have different practices. Neither one is right or wrong. Some do the probing before, some do the probing after. So the Rosh said, you know, when should you make the bracha of Nisa Bavisa Shavim Avinu? Since it's the machlega, should you make it before, should you make it after? Let's just make it in between the Mila and the Priya. So it's like making it while the mitzvah is happening, and then you yotze both shittas. Whenever you compromise like this, it sounds like you're yotze neither one. Who says you're yotze both one? You're not yotze the shita making before, because it's already after the Mila. You're not yotze making it after, because it's before the Priya. So maybe you're not yotze anything, but that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, to follow the compromise of the Rosh, to make it while, you know, between the Mila and the Priya. Nowadays, we don't do that anymore. We don't separate between the stages, we cut them both off all at the same time. So when do you make this bracha? That's why the father, we instruct the father to rush as quickly as possible. Let's say the Moyo will make Ala Mila. He moves pretty quickly, but right away, the father should make Lachnisa Bavisa Shavar Mavinu. He shouldn't wait around. And that's like a kiyum, a little bit in the rush, to make it in between the Mila and the Priya. A little bit. Even we do the best that we can. Anyway, we'll have to see tomorrow that there's a interesting thing within the Rambam with regards to the bracha of Achnisa Barbisa Shavar Mavino, and then Rav Soloveitchik had a famous pshat over here in this Rabbeinu Tam, which we'll have to say over. Yeah, Avrami, what do you say?
If Mila's is a surgery, how come we don't knock the baby out before the surgery starts? Like,
so
there's not gonna be any crying at all.
That's a good question. All right, we'll talk about it tomorrow. It's a good question. It's a long answer, but we'll talk about it tomorrow. All right, very good, Heaven. Yeah.